Welcome to Radio Gorgeous, this is Victoria Pearson and today my guest is alternative rock singer Evie Vine. Evie, a warm welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi Victoria, it's lovely to be here, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. The track How Time Flies from your debut album And So the Morning Comes is a beautiful haunting melody. What is the story behind the track?
Well, thank you very much first of all for saying that, it's lovely. I think it's part where time disappears between lovers. I think it even says that in the lyric. There's an endless space of promise and the idea of another human being in such a complete state together. And it exists. And it's really... But while you're in the moment, it does feel like forever. And it's a lovely feeling. And I think that's what the song really is about, actually.
Creating that moment that just happened and hoping that it could be something that lasts forever or that you could capture that moment, perhaps.
I'm not sure if I've ever thought that that feeling could last forever, but it's certainly in that moment, the promise of and the possibilities is endless, even for a few seconds, you know, for that moment when you're with a lover and the lights are low or you don't have to leave and you can remain in that space together for a period of time. It can feel like endless bliss, and perhaps that does work out for some people. I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it did at the time.
It does sound fantastic. If only it could last forever, these moments, you know.
Well, it has to end. If it hadn't ended, I probably wouldn't have written The Colours of the Night, so there you go.
Your new single Sabbath, which is released on December the 6th, has been described as both sweet and heavy. What does this song mean to you?
It's a really hard question, I think, to answer. It took form. It was the first time the band had been really working together in a room and kind of feeding off each other's energy. And then something comes. It was a guitar riff that Stephen had been working with. And it ends up being a process, I suppose, a writing process. But there is a moment where you just kind of get that feeling that something's changing and something might be happening. The track, I think, is a shift in sound and dynamic for us. Although we were a bit heavy a few years ago, now that we're a band again with Matthew Ty on bass and GB on drums, their work is really integral, like Matt's bass sound, and it's just a driving force. Obviously, with Simon coming on board to guest with us, it changes everything. The track in itself then becomes, you know, it's almost, it becomes something else. I hope that musically it would be enough for people to be interested. I'm hoping that this is just something that just shifts perhaps perception in what we can do.
It's quite an exciting thought, sweet and heavy, to sort of achieve that sound. It's an unusual description, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose my voice dictates that, perhaps. I wish I sounded more, you know, there's other artists who I wish I sounded like. I wish I had that texture. This is what I can do, and this is how I write. My voice will sit inside any piece of music we write, heavy or lo-fi, and it will always be me at the end of the day. So I'm very on myself. It's hard for me to listen to a piece of music that I've written or been involved in, and certainly lyrics or writing, and kind of go, yeah, man, this is amazing. I can't do that. None of us can. But we know that this is like a transition track and it's doing something cool and people seem to be responding to it really well. And it's lovely if people say kind of good things about it. But yeah, I suppose that, you know, is there a balance between sweet and heavy? But perhaps a lot of the music I like kind of comes with different texture and moods, I suppose.
And it's almost like a definition of a strong woman, sweet and heavy at the same time, you know?
Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah,
and I think you're right as well that you have to sort of step away from something. Once you're creating, you're too close to it to see it. And when you step away, then you can judge it for yourself, can't you?
We had the So I haven't listened to it because I couldn't for a long time. So I have to sit with the tracks day in day out for months, writing lyrics and arranging. By the time I finish that and I have recorded, I can't really listen anymore. So I took a break, and then Stephen, guitarist, Sonic God Hero, took over listening to the mixes and stuff after we'd finished mixing, as well. So this is a massive process to mix that we're always involved in as well. So I couldn't listen anymore. I needed to step away from it. We got the vinyl arrived, the test pressings arrived yesterday, which is really exciting. So it's the first time we've heard it, and they're on vinyl, and we got a record player up. So it's the first time I've heard the track or any of the music since then, and there is power in, I know that there's power in Sabbath. I can feel it. I like the extended version of it. I like getting lost in the noise. I don't really feel like I need to hear my voice very much in any of the music so much anymore. I'm not sure I have really much else to say about anything I haven't said already, if you know what I mean. But there's power in the music, certainly. I'm really proud of the track. I'm really proud of what the boys did. I'm really proud of what we did together.
Thank you.
You describe Sabbath as a darkly alluring piece of music. Is there a greater inspiration in dark themes?
I have a feeling that someone else might have said that, which is really cool. I'm not sure that I would have said how amazingly, I'm not sure. I think someone said that. But yeah. the themes remain the same. My themes are kind of always the same, like a lot of writers' experiences that I have had, personal experience. Is things that I have seen or things that I know will shape the way that I write. It's not always the good things, so I have a tendency to lean into the more melancholic moods. And actually, when I hear other music, then this is more of a release for me. Music should change our moods, I believe, as well. And I suppose I aspire, or I always want to listen to something that's going to change my mood, that's going to make me want to dance or make me feel something. And I only aspire to that as a writer. I hope one day that we can, with what we do, we can achieve the same thing, really.
Yeah. Simon Gallup from The Cure features on Sabbath.
Yes, he does. Pretty amazing, yeah.
Is The Cure an influence on your music? And what are your other musical influences?
I grew up in a house of music. I'm really blessed that way. I think it's great for kids to be able to have music every day when you wake up. For breakfast, it was always there. I grew up listening to kind of West Coast Americana and Creedence and Joan Baez, and I knew the importance of the protest song, so that had a big influence in my writing, being able to speak out against things that were happening. But when I was about 12, for myself, I heard maybe Avalon by Roxy Music.
Oh, yes.
Which changed the way that I listened to music, because I was a kid and you're used to hearing the radio, and you know it's not always amazingly inspiring. And then I kind of found my own road, really, and I found The Doors, which were probably my greatest musical influence. But then into Bauhaus and then Nine Inch Nails and other bands. I'd say that Disintegration played a part, I'm sure. The layering and the texture and the whole feeling of it, I felt when I heard that. It was much later when I heard Disintegration, actually. It was after it was released, quite a while, many years. And I heard and I was like, this is it. Inside of the music, in a way. I think that's how you feel when you listen to Disintegration for the first time. And I love great writing, and Robert Smith is a beautiful lyricist. The band is incredible. Actually, I'm really sorry. When I was a kid, probably like the Top of the Pops, I remember The Cure. I remember The Cure being on Top of the Pops and Susan the Banshees and pointing and going, I want that when I was a kid. And then your parents do everything they can to kind of, you know, change direction, don't they? They don't want you to be the punk. They don't want you to be the grungy goth or, somewhere, you know, with ripped fishnets or anything. But it's where I ended up.
Slightly unfortunately, I probably saw Johnny Rotten around the same time and said, I want to be like that. That's quite worrying, really.
Good. Yeah, good. If only, more kids should be exposed to this. There should be more, and it's the whole thing about, you know, the internet and everything, and having one medium, you know, the four TV channels we probably grew up with, or the three TV channels at one point, you know, you could own, and they had the old grey whistle test, they had Top of the Pops, and yet they covered a multitude of styles and genres, so you were able to see Spandau Ballet, and then you were able to see Susie and the Banshees, or Blondie, or something else, and you could, you know, choose, and it's like, I want this one.
Yeah. Totally. And that's what I'm trying to recreate with what I'm doing, is so that you have got something that's different. You're not getting the same tedious thing you get on mainstream media. I'm trying to create an alternative for people, so they're looking out for new female artists or new bands or whatever. I'm giving them something different, because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
On the track Afterlight, you sing Escape the City Light and The Foundations Falling, Rearrange the Sky. Is this a song of new beginnings?
Okay, Afterlight, it's more of a warning song, really, for things to come. It feels more of a song. It kind of feels like we're in a time, I don't know how we're going to rebuild, and we're dismantling all that's good and sacred and pure. I'm not sure the powers that be are interested in rebuilding particularly. So I'm looking at things as looking out into the world on a bigger scale, really, and how sad it all seems. We also belong, like the band, or I do, and on our website on the Facebook, which is the Dark Mountain Project. And it was a really, they're certainly worth looking into. It's good to know that there are other people, there are others out there who have the light in them and that they're fighting to keep the balance. I feel very alone sometimes under the pressure of everything. And it can be very isolating if you are interested in a more compassionate way of living. I'm sure you feel it too, yeah. If you even turn on the news. Somebody asked me recently, where do you, your themes are apocalyptic, they're very based on this and this and this, where do you get your themes from? Just, you know, turn on the news, there are walls being built to keep us divided, there are wars in every corner of the globe. It feels, yeah, that it's not hard to find sorrow, I think I said. It's really important to know as well, to keep breathing, that there are other people in the world who are the balance.
I like the way you've put that, other people that have got the light in them. You know, it's just something like you're switched on to other people, you know?
Yeah, I think there's an old fire in us. There's old traditions and ways. It doesn't mean that we were non-violent to each other, but I certainly feel that there are the way that we would navigate the stars or understand how to live in the forest without leaving a trace, and how to protect and nurture the earth. That's the light that I feel that a lot of people have forgotten. It's in them, but they've forgotten. They're distracted. They need other things. Greed, unfortunately, and power seem to take over. But there are some people, and seek it. They look for it. The search, I suppose, about anything in life is that every day we learn something new, or we should try, or we hope to learn something as we mature. I know I have, and I try to. I'm certainly far from perfect. I'm lazy, and I need to do more. But I hope that the purpose of this being on this planet is to try to learn to be better something. Try to hold it together somehow. There's only a handful of tribes, maybe one or two on the planet, who are truly nomadic, that don't leave a trace on this planet. You know, as they move through the jungle, they take a little bit of what they need, and they know how to live in harmony within nature, understanding that they are nature. We are nature. We are animals. You know, our brains have moved much faster than we can even keep up with, you know, technology. People live in cities, they're living too fast, they're eating bad food, they don't know what it means anymore to go and sit in the woods and sink your hands and your feet into the earth and just sit there in front of a fire and be still under the stars and be quiet and be respectful. You know, there's this idea of us being separated from nature and being given the power to dominate nature. It says it in the Bible, you know, we were given dominion over the creatures, and they're like, well, I'm really sorry, I feel that that's a man-made law that was very convenient at a time to be able to go and hunt and take and, you know, put borders up around and take everything, because we're the master race, and that's not so. We have amazing qualities and we're capable of so much, but certainly, yeah, I don't think that we were told it's okay to just go out and do. It suits a few, you know, it suits a handful of people, but not the majority, and certainly not the planet. I think we're given a statistic recently, which I'm going to get wrong, so forgive me, but by like 2026, there's going to be no wild animals left. I don't think that that was... I don't think we were sent a message by God to tell us this is okay, actually. So I think that's another misunderstanding within, you know, the way that governments are able to use religion to control people. Like you said, we're kind of looking for the light. We're trying to keep some light alive.
I like that a lot. You have recently worked with Peter Yates of Fields of the Nephilim. What was he like to work with?
He's hilarious.
Yeah. Is he?
He's hilarious.
Yeah.
Peter and I have actually been working together for a number of years. We met at Electroworks, which you may know as Slimelight in Angel, about 1,000 years ago at a mutual friend's gig. he was interested perhaps in me, which was a no-brainer really. He's a really gifted musician. He's a beautiful musician. Elysium was really the album, I suppose, that changed things for me with them. They worked with a couple of the guys they recorded in, my God, you know when, please don't cut this out to edit this.
Okay.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
My brain just gone into lockdown.
That's
Pink
all right.
Floyd, flipping yeah. They worked at the studios there for Elysium. So there was a sound there. Anyway, so Peter's playing and his work, I mean, this is what he did. This was, his contribution was to this incredible album. And all their albums are great. But again, like Disintegration with The Cure, it's just multi-layered. It's, you can drift inside of that album. So Peter writes really gorgeous songs, actually. And I'm not sure if you know, but GB, myself and Stephen, were Peter's band. We went out to the Wave Gothic Treffen Festival a couple of years ago. We were Peter's band to make that possible. And that was, I was playing bass and Peter and I sang together, and it's incredible. Please listen to the stuff that we did together if you haven't already, because it's really, really lovely. It's really lovely.
Okay.
He's a great guy, is the answer.
Yeah.
He's a really
cool
guy. He's a good friend. We call him. We're always in touch. He recorded on the, I can't remember if he did the first album or the second album with us. But he is almost like a measure as well. We speak regularly about work and people we're working with. And, you know, he's a really amazing guy. He's a great.
Right.
And most of the people we end up becoming friends with are amazing musicians and human beings. No egos. They're just great musicians. And that's it. Really. Yeah.
They're the real thing. The real people.
Yes, we're, you know, maybe I'm just too old now. There's just no time to waste any time on anything else. You know, people, yeah, you have to have connections and be able to sit in a room with people and write. It's quite a heavy process, you know. You have to put a lot on the line. You have to expose yourself. You have to be in a safe space with people who you can be in a room with, you know, and then have a pint with.
Yeah.
And have a good time and be able to sit in a van for 15 hours, you know.
Oh, you've got to have a good relationship to do that, right?
You have to be more like family, really. So
yeah.
All the guys, you know, GB, Matt, myself, Stephen, and anyone that comes with us, it's all part of the same kind of tribe, really, of madness.
The forthcoming album is called Black Light, White Dark.
Yep.
And features Martin Barker from Shriekback, who's worked with Jimmy Page and Marianne Faithfull. What did he contribute to the album, and what about the other contributors to the album?
Martin, again, like, just a wonderful man, a great guy, phenomenal musician, multi-instrumentalist, and we were very, very blessed to meet him through Phil Brown, incredible engineer who worked with us, who took time to work with us. We're very grateful. Phil worked with Talk, notably, of course. And Martin, for our second album, came in right from the beginning, just sat with us as we were writing, would come visit us in the studio when Stephen and I were just putting the tracks together on our own. And then when he was ready, or when we were ready, came and just performed and recorded just beautiful percussion. Always so inspiring to watch him. It's effortless. You know, I have to work really hard. I'm a self-taught musician. I have to work really hard to kind of move around and figure out how to write songs. And then someone like Martin kind of just steps in, and it's just like this almost ethereal experience. It just sort of happens in front of you. So he has recorded again for us on a couple of tracks. We do tend to kind of put some of his lovely work through Chaos Pads. So he is on the album. And there's some percussive stuff, but it's kind of in within a mix. But we are working on various mixes, and we will use this percussion again, so you get to hear more of his incredible playing. I did have a band in the UK before I went to LA, and when I was in LA, I kind of did some other writing with other... I did some kind of collaborating with songwriters out there, and I recorded with Graham Revell. I was in a couple of bands, and it was another band that I kind of supported with. So, well, I was in LA... And I was lucky enough to collaborate with Graham Revell, who was the founder of Industrial SPK band, which is incredible. And he also is a soundtrack master. He worked on The Crow as a number of things. So I was so lucky to record with him while I was there, but I also sang and wrote with a number of writers and bands, not in contact with the people that I performed with, maybe.
Yeah. What is the future for female artists in gothic, rock, post-punk and dark wave music?
Are there... I wish I knew. Sorry, yeah, carry on.
And are there any female artists that currently inspire you or that you might wish to collaborate with?
I think women have really taken, have been allowed to have the stage for the last few years, even in pop music or popular culture. There are a lot of women seem to be holding their own more than ever before, more kind of in the idea of the media. There's lots of female-fronted bands, which is just wonderful. I'm really happy. I have no idea about the future of music at all, other than I know that it's so important for us to be able to meet someone like you that's moving forward with an idea of how to keep music alive in people's lives. We continue to write music for that reason and for ourselves. There are so many people, there's a music community. I think you just need to be able to find the right people, as with everything in life. I hope that we can figure out a future for all musicians. But I really love a band called King Woman.
Okay.
And Ferraris, who I'm sure you know, they have recorded vocals for our next project, which is really lovely.
Hmm.
So you should certainly, when they're ready, get in touch with them, because she's really fantastic. And Amandine Ferraris, who I also performed and sang with for a period of time, is also another very gifted musician, and I will certainly put you in touch with her music, her and her partner. Santiago, very, very, very gifted and beautiful musicians. Collaborations. I suppose it's more of people. I love PJ Harvey and Susie Sue, but I think I put them over there in a place where they are. They're over there and they belong in a beautiful space on their own. I certainly don't need to get, you know, they know what they're doing. I'd love to work with them, but I don't know if that would ever be possible. But who knows, you know.
You never know. You've got it, a thought in your head. It could happen, you know.
Exactly. And we were in touch with Budgie for this album. We were just a little bit late on the track, perhaps with collaborations with Simon as well. We got lucky with timing. Everyone's obviously like got really busy schedules. But maybe for the next, we're already starting. We've got the time booked in for the next lot of recordings, which is a continuation from the work we did last summer, so perhaps Budgie will be free for that. Who knows?
Excellent.
It's not Susie, but it's close.
Excellent.
I was going to say that. Cut that out. It doesn't matter that it's not Susie. It's Budgie, and I love Budgie. He's my favourite drummer.
Okay, we're keeping Budgie in, or letting him fly away.
You can keep Budgie in, but don't say he's a replacement for Susie, because that's crap. Because he's not at all. That's not Susie. Wasn't even an option. So you know, who knows? Maybe.
Yeah.
And how important it is to be able to support women, reasons why you do that. I'm really interested in that. It's the same thing. We're looking for the same thing. Thank you, by the way, Victoria.
Sure.
I did say that at the beginning, but I really appreciate this. The band really appreciate it, from Matt, GB and Stephen and myself. Thank you so much for having us as guests.
Okay.
It was lovely to meet you and talk to you. Thank you for your questions. They were really cool, actually. I enjoyed them.
Evie Vine, thank you for joining me today. It's been fantastic.
It's my pleasure.
And for more gorgeous interviews, visit radiogorgeous.com.